Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. This week's topic on Talk Nation Radio, whistleblowing. We speak with two whistleblowers, Jeslyn Raddick and Thomas Drake, the latter one of six people thus far charged under the Espionage Act by the Obama administration as retribution for whistleblowing.
Interestingly, one thing that's been missing from all of the Espionage Act prosecutions of whistleblowers are allegations in the indictment that they harmed the U.S. or benefited a foreign nation, which are requirements that need to be shown in order to bring an Espionage Act complaint, and those are mysteriously missing.
But it is the government that is doing the spying on the rest of us.
The FISA Amendments Act of 2008, the telecom immunity, that simply made law what had been unlawful. And, you know, with all the newer legislation, even since then, or proposed legislation, it's simply to take that even further.
So I am thrilled to have, for the first time on Talk Nation Radio, two guests together. And these were two guests that we needed to have together. Thomas Drake is a former senior executive at the National Security Agency, the NSA. He's an Air Force and a Navy veteran, a computer software expert, and a whistleblower. He's a recipient of the Ridenour Prize for Truth-Telling and a co-recipient, along with our other guest today, of the Sam Adams Associates for Integrity in Intelligence Award. He was, of course, rewarded by the government for his whistleblowing by retribution, by being charged under the Espionage Act, facing 35 years for truth-telling, but the charges did not stick. In part thanks to our other guest today, Jeslyn Raddick, who is not only the successful lawyer for Tom Drake, but a co-recipient with him of the Sam Adams Award and herself a whistleblower who exposed the abuses of the Bush era, or perhaps we should now say the Bush-Obama era, early on. Raddick was an ethics advisor to the U.S. Justice Department, which had little use for ethics. She exposed the abuse of John Walker Lind, the so-called American Taliban. Jeslyn Raddick's book is called Traitor, The Whistleblower and the American Taliban. Raddick is National Security and Human Rights Director of the Government Accountability Project. Tom and Jeslyn, it's wonderful to have you on Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, David.
Let's just talk briefly about your case, Tom. As I understand it, exposed a project under which the government was spending more money than it needed to, and you were charged for that under the Espionage Act, which requires that you have been trying to harm the nation. Do I have that right?
Well, that's it in a nutshell. I mean, there's a much longer history in terms of how the government ended up charging me. But, you know, during the Bush administration, and this is after 9/11, the government spent billions and billions of dollars at NSA on a boondoggle called Trailblazer. And that particular program never went anywhere. It actually never delivered anything. It just spent a whole lot of money. A tremendous waste of taxpayer funds. But the other thing that was going on in parallel were certain key executive decisions at the highest levels of our government. They were made shortly after 9/11 that were in violation of the Fourth Amendment and turning the United States of America, increasingly turning the United States of America into a foreign nation for the purposes of dragnet electronic surveillance on a very large scale. And probably the trigger event for the government in going after anybody they thought might have something to do with those programs was, particularly the surveillance program, was the Ryzen Licklow article, blockbuster article published in December of 2005, which revealed publicly for the first time the existence of what became known as the terrorist surveillance program.
Now, this was the article in the New York Times that the New York Times had sat on for over a year, explaining that they didn't want to publish it because it might have impacted a national election, the re-election, so-called, of George W. Bush, and which they did publish because James Risen was about to reveal the information in a book. Is that right?
Yeah, a book called The State of War, a book that the FBI actually seized when they came to my residence on 20 November 2007 with a search warrant. And that book was actually named in the search warrant.
They seized a published copy of that book.
Yes, they did.
It was actually listed on the search warrant, even though obviously owning a book in this country is not prohibited. It's in fact protected First Amendment activity, but there were two different books, one by Jim Risen and one by Jim Bamford, on the search warrant itself. So apparently reading is criminal, according to the Justice Department.
But to demonstrate perhaps that Thomas Drake had an interest in exposing Fourth Amendment abuses, as did these other authors, perhaps?
Well, in fact, I had exposed it, but not to them. In fact, I had not exposed anything to the media at that time. I actually had been a material witness in several congressional investigations, as well as direct contact with congressional staffers on both the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. And not only was the massive fraud, waste, and abuse, government mismanagement, malfeasance provided to them, but a lot of the details regarding the top secret program that was approved by the White House that violated the Fourth Amendment.
And am I correct in understanding that you also at some point came across information about knowledge related to 9/11 that was known prior to 9/11, which is, of course, a huge embarrassment that always angers our top government officials?
Well, that was partly a revolutionary program called Thin Thread, which was actually ready to go operational in 1999 and was continually enhanced in the 2 years prior to 9/11. That particular program not only provided secure intelligence in the digital age, but it also absolutely protected U.S. person rights, American citizen rights under the Fourth Amendment. That program was actually rejected by NSA, even though Congress passed legislation that was signed into law in early 2002 under the Intelligence Authorization Act, directing NSA to deploy this threat to the most critical counterterrorism sites. And so that particular program is the one they did not, the fact that there was an alternative to the illegal program, but during that late 01, early 02 timeframe, I was actually the executive program manager for Thin Thread after the principals had retired in October. We were able to determine, based on one of the NSA's main databases, that there was critical intelligence, actionable intelligence, that had never been discovered prior to 9/11, and also intelligence after 9/11 that had not been discovered, and if been reported, would have gone a long way for dealing with the threat.
So I could understand why exposing such information would make people angry who are protective of their job records and so forth, but how does any of this get you charged under the Espionage Act? Doesn't that suggest that you're spying for a foreign nation and behaving as a traitor to the United States?
Interestingly, one thing that's been missing from all of the Espionage Act prosecutions of whistleblowers are allegations in the indictment that they harmed the U.S. or benefited a foreign nation, which are requirements that need to be shown in order to bring an Espionage Act complaint, and those are mysteriously missing. And that's because, in point of fact, all of these people who've been charged are whistleblowers who are trying to help their country and protect the country and prevent some of the most scandalous programs of the Bush administration, for example, torture and secret surveillance.
Jesslyn, you say all of them. How many such cases have there been?
There are six cases that have been brought under the Obama administration, which is more than any past president has brought, and more than all previous presidential administrations combined. The 1917 Espionage Act is an antiquated, overbroad, terribly ambiguous law that is meant to go after spies, not whistleblowers. But this administration has used it in a horrible crackdown on people who are trying to tell the truth about everything from things that the government finds embarrassing to things that are downright illegal.
I had been under the impression this was going to be the most transparent presidency in history, and meetings were going to be broadcast live on the internet, and we were going to know what our government was doing. It sounds like instead we've moved in exactly the opposite direction. Is that your conclusion?
Yes, even though Obama campaigned on a platform of openness and transparency and being the most transparent administration ever, he has expanded the secrecy regime put into place by George W. Bush. And that goes not only for secret surveillance, but everything from excessive use of the state secrets privilege to the way the Justice Department handles freedom of information requests, to continued secret Office of Legal Counsel memos authorizing very controversial things like targeted assassination of Americans, to the continued use of secret signing statements. In terms of transparency across the board, this president has been terrible.
Many of us saw these abuses under Bush and Cheney, including yourself, Jesslyn, and thought that they needed to be punished, that we needed impeachments, prosecutions, and so forth, or the next administration would do exactly as you describe, continue and expand on the abuses. I'm assuming that the pattern still holds. If there's no accountability this time, the next administration will expand further. Is that your expectation, and what would it take to reverse this direction?
My expectation is that they're not trying to actually impeach Bush or hold anybody accountable during the Bush years was egregious enough, but as soon as he came into office very early on, Obama gave blanket immunity through legislation to the telecoms that had engaged in warrantless wiretapping. That had happened with the FISA Amendments Act before he took office, but then after he took office, he said that no one in the CIA would be prosecuted if they were following Justice Department legal guidance that said they could torture people. And by not holding them accountable, yes, it just allows us to continue even further with each successive administration. In terms of rolling it back, a lot of people feel that it's too far gone and that, we've already, passed the Rubicon on this and that it would be very hard. I mean, we really would need to have something akin to massive populist outrage and something in Congress like the Church committee investigations, and I just don't see that happening under either a Romney or an Obama administration.
Oh, but I imagine under a Romney administration, for which I am not advocating, by the way, you might have populist outrage. You might have liberals suddenly discover that they dislike civil liberties abuses. I don't know. I recall being at the terrific event at which both of you, Thomas Drake and Jesslyn Radick, received the Sam Adams Awards for your whistleblowing work. And I remember you, Tom, saying that you feared for our republic, that we were moving toward tyranny. Can you explain how you see that happening?
Well, that is the great fear. I mean, I made reference to, Benjamin Franklin when he was asked by a woman at the conclusion of the Constitutional Convention and was going out to the colonies for ratification. What country do you want to keep? It's a republic. he well knew, as I think many founding fathers well appreciated, that it would take a vigilant, informed citizenry to ensure that even under a constitutional form of government, constitutional republic, and even with the Bill of Rights, those 10 precious rights that were attached, to ensure that those, that the government would not violate them, and that they were actually enshrined in law, the highest law of the land, that over time, those could be taken away. They were well aware of the march of history and the legacy of history. And, you know, the grand experiment that was launched in 1789, and, you know, the United States of America really, as they ratified it, you know, 2 years later, set that in motion. And, you know, here we are in the post-9/11 world, which has really become a national security regime, mostly characterized by extraordinary secrecy and a tremendous amount of lawbreaking on the part of our own government. Do I fear for the future? I certainly do, but that's one reason why I choose not to remain silent. Considering not only my future, but clearly the future of the generations to follow. What's happening in the last 10 years is a lot of this secrecy regime has been normalized, become just standard practice. And if anything, the Enabling Act, as I've called them, which harkens back to the 1930s in Europe under, you know, a different regime, but it's a frightening prospect that we increase the amount of secrecy, and yet the government claims that it's doing so in the name of national security and for our own safety, when in fact, in order to do that, it's actually taking away our central rights and civil liberties.
I do think you're right, David, though, that if there were to be a Romney administration, a lot of the Obama boss and people who are Obama apologists will suddenly look at anything Romney does, that even if it totally mirrors what Obama's been doing, and suddenly cry foul in terms of civil liberties. But this time, those cries will be quite empty because Obama himself has engaged in the same behavior. So I think we will just see an expansion of even further things than we can even imagine. I don't think during Bush people were imagining that the drone campaigns, or that we would have indefinite preventive detention of anybody, or that we would have targeted assassination of Americans. I don't think that was on anyone's worst fear list. Yet it has happened under the Obama administration, and I can only begin to imagine what would happen under a continued Obama administration, or what Romney would put in place. I don't have faith in either, but certainly the Obama crowd is going to be much harder pressed to make the civil liberties arguments, given that they have totally caved over the last 4 years.
I think a lot of people don't know and go out of their way to manage not to know about many of these abuses. And I suspect that many people believe the warrantless spying, among other abuses, ended when Bush and Cheney left town. Maybe you could enlighten our listeners, both of you, as to what extent we are currently being spied on.
Well, if anything, under the Obama administration, it's been expanded. I mean, the FISA Amendments Act of 2008, the telecom immunity, that simply made law what had been unlawful. And, you know, with all the newer legislation, even since then, or proposed legislation, it's simply to take that even further. I mean, this is what's happening. You've got the rise of a national security state within at least the form of our government, and it's anathema to the Constitution, and something has to give. And what's been giving in secret are our rights and civil liberty. That's really what's under attack. And the government's using that somehow. The secrecy equation takes priority over anything else. And as I've said publicly, I'll say it again here on your show, is that national security has become the state religion. If you question it, that means you're questioning, you know, the sanctity of the U.S. You're questioning the government. You become a traitor and a dissenter, and you're not really worthy of talking about it. You know, this is kind of the bifurcation that's happened. Our form of government is openness and transparency. It was never designed to harbor this kind of secrecy, and the kind of secrecy that we're seeing, not just the prevalency of it, but the persistence of it.
But also, in addition to the secrecy, the surveillance and the tracking of people, I mean, it's a pretty bad indictment when our very conservative Supreme Court actually is the one that says, no, you cannot engage in GPS tracking of people without probable cause. And then only recently, in yet another WikiLeaks release, we learn about TrapWire, which is a predictive software system designed to detect patterns of pre-attack surveillance. I mean, it's something like out of the Minority Report, that it's supposed to be able to recognize people from their faces and their walking, and predict somehow whether they're about to commit a crime. Again, stuff out of science fiction almost that we wouldn't have even been able to conjure up in our worst dreams. Specter and Bush is now a reality of everyday life. There are cameras on every single building of the street I work on K Street.
And we thought that when Obama said look forward instead of looking backward, all he meant was don't prosecute powerful people. He actually is going to look forward and go after crimes that haven't occurred yet. We are speaking with Jesslyn Raddick of the Government Accountability Project and Thomas Drake, formerly with the NSA, both of them outstanding whistleblowers. We are speaking on Talk Nation Radio. There are 4.8 million people, if I have the statistic right, who have security clearances. And it seems the number of them who believe there is information the public should be told, even if some risk is involved, can be counted on one or two hands. Where does this epidemic of obedience come from?
I think a lot of it, it's almost pathological. I mean, you have fear-mongering, which encourages obedience and not speaking out, and certainly there's been a lot of propaganda and both the previous administration and this one guilty of playing on people's fears to keep people silent and obedient. And then you have people who, in their own power grabs, have classified everything from birth announcements to, I mean, the most innocuous of documents just to make themselves feel important. And so you combine that rampant overclassification with the rampant number of security clearances, so many that some have suggested we've lost track of how many people actually hold security clearances. I mean, more than three times the population of Washington, D.C. has a security clearance in this country. So you get those, you get a confluence of events like that. And it creates a climate of obedience. And then you add in another factor, which is the war on whistleblowers, and that sends a very chilling message to stay quiet.
Yeah, the DNI, James Clapper, I think it was a couple of years ago, actually said that all intelligence community employees need to be like his grandchildren, seen and not heard. Besides saying something about his relationship with his grandchildren, what does that say about, you know, the employees in the national security field? The secrecy agreement that they signed is really turning into a loyalty oath. And anything, any perception that you are outside the norm or you're questioning authority, even on the inside, is regarded as a disloyal act and needs to be punished.
And this can be seen in even now with the Obama administration being called out on some of the massive leaking of its own of high-level tippy-top secret security stuff. The anti-leak legislation that's been proposed would further crack down on whistleblowers. I mean, it basically would say you have to leak to Congress first before you leak to anyone else, and you have to get the approval of your agency's public relations office before you go to Congress, which, again, is contrary to the First Amendment. So even the anti-leak legislation that is kind of floating around would be of no help to whistleblowers. There really is a culture of actively silencing people and setting an example. When Tom Drake was sentenced, the prosecutor asked that he be charged some $50,000 or some big fine in order to, quote, send a message. And I think that message, even though these cases have fallen apart or are stalled right now, I think the message has been sent loud and clear. Keep your mouth shut.
So there is that element of fear, and both of you were willing to take major risks, and many may not be and may be in difficult situations with children and so forth. But I have a secondary concern, and we have a few minutes left, but I wonder what's left to blow the whistle on when it's public knowledge that we have indefinite imprisonment, that we have assassination, that we have drone strikes, that we have wiretapping, that bribery has essentially been legalized, that massive transfers of wealth to the wealthiest cronies is public policy. Are there secrets that need to be told, that could be told, that would expose details of what's happening, or something even worse than what we already passively accept as established public policy?
There are definitely secrets that need to be told, but people need to be a lot safer in doing that. And that's why I encourage people to contact organizations like my own, the Government Accountability Project, or like my sister organization, the Project on Government Oversight. Consult a lawyer before you speak out, so they can figure out the safest way for you to do that, so that the message is delivered without delivering the messenger.
Tom, what secrets might there be that we don't know yet that could be worse than what has already been exposed and openly legalized?
Well, one of the things in terms of the military, you know, one of the largest redistributions of wealth that's occurred since 9/11 is the massive amount of money that's been poured into national security. It's not just Department of Defense, but also Department of Homeland Security and a lot of other related agencies. It's a huge amount of money. And so I've always said, follow the money. That was one of the things that happened during my whistleblowing days with the Trailblazer Project, was just simply following the money. When I was a material witness, a lot of the evidence that I provided to the Department of Defense, I was an unnamed senior official in that complaint, was simply following the money and the trail of money. There's also the off-the-book activity by a lot of the special operations side of the military. You're actually seeing, because in essence, they can lock down very, very tightly in terms of special accesses that are required for those programs. There's very little that would ever come out about those programs unless someone was actually indoctrinated into them. And they have a tremendous amount of freedom behind the veil of secrecy to operate across the world in many, many different locations. But I don't believe we know the full extent of that, what I call the paramilitary and special operations side of the military, as well as other agencies.
I think a lot of people would like to know who's on the kill list and whether people like Julian Assange, who hasn't even been indicted except for rumors of a secret indictment, are on the kill list. I think people would be astounded to know, for example, that the amount of data on each person that the government already has. I mean, I think you'd probably like to know what's in your file, David. I'd like to know what's been mine and, you know, what the NSA has on me. I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff. There are a lot of secrets, people, and information off the top of my head that I could think of. How many drones we have currently flying over the U.S. Right now. I mean, there's a ton of stuff I think, you know, people would like to know and have a right to know as being part of an informed public debate that's essential to having a free and open democratic society.
I am hereby convinced, and this is why we have Jesslyn Raddick and Thomas Drake on Talk Nation Radio. There is much that needs to be exposed. People should check out Government Accountability Project, and in particular, potential whistleblowers should check out the Government Accountability Project. We'll put a link on the website at davidswanson.org/talknationradio. Tom and Jesslyn, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you, David, for covering these important issues.
Yep, thanks for inviting us on your show.
This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, engineered by Christiane Brown in Reno, Nevada, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. Until next time.